Good morning. Today's daf in Yevamos is Nun Beis. We're in the very bottom of Nun Alpha Mud Beis, the last words, Ketzaras HaMaimer, and we go back to our Mishnah. Here we are in the fifth parak of the Masechta, fifth parak, short parak, but really difficult, challenging parak, in which we're looking at four action points, either Bia, Chalitza, or Maimer and Get, and in any one of those circumstances. So what happens if you were to do those action points? Well, we all know Bia by itself is a mitzvah. We all know Chalitza by itself is a matir. Again, in Lamdus, a question whether it's a matir or a mitzvah. And then what business does Get have to do over here? What business does Maimer have to do over here? So we discussed that at the beginning of the fifth parak. But meanwhile, what happens when I were to do a compound action? Let's say I were to do Get and Maimer, or Maimer and Get, or Maimer and Chalitza. V'chule, v'chule, et cetera, et cetera. The Mishnah in the beginning of the parak, it's all the Mishnah I've found in the beginning of the parak, so it goes through each specific scenario in terms of what happens when you do one action and then followed by another action point. Now, the Mishnah itself opens up with a machlokas between Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim, whether or not there's Maimer Acha Maimer, whether there's Get Acha Get. According to Rabbi Gamliel, a Maimer Acha Maimer and Get Acha Get in yesterday's daf. We spent a good amount of time trying to give a svara for Rabbi Gamliel, why that should be. There's no Maimer Acha Maimer and there's no Get Acha Get. The Chachamim disagree. They say that Yesh Maimer Acha Maimer v'Yesh Get Acha Get. The Gemara does not spend really any time going over the sheet of the Chachamim, but nevertheless, they are arguing with Rabbi Gamliel. And then the Mishnah goes through all the various cases. Now, as we move from the beginning of the Mishnah to the series of cases in the Mishnah, so the transition is a little bit choppy. Meaning, and what the Gemara right now is going to do, it's just going to clean up that transition. Meaning, when we read the Mishnah back on Daf Nun, so I probably transitioned for us to go from one case to the next case. So the Gemara is going to do that right now. So Ketzaras HaMaimer, so what exactly is the case? Are we Get HaChaget? Who? It's a case of Get HaChaget. Meaning, if you go back to the Mishnah, you follow the Mishnah carefully, you will realize the Mishnah is really difficult to read. Because the Mishnah opens up with Rabbi Gamliel Amarin Get HaChaget, that there is no Get HaChaget. And then the Mishnah says, here, let me give you some examples. And one of them is, in fact, Get HaChaget. How did that work? How can that be? So what the Gemara now is going to clean up is Amar Rav Yehuda Achi Kamar. Get HaChaget Amayim Rachamayim Rakedam Maran. Yavam Echad V'Yivama Achad. Ketzad, we'll add the word mitzvahs hatarasam, asa maimer b'yivim tovanasam laget, shirch amen chalitza. No. In other words, what we're doing now is we're just cleaning up the Mishnah. The Mishnah started off by talking about where there was not one yavama, but there were two yavamas. In other words, it was yavam echad, two yavamas. Alternatively, it could also be, as Rashi pointed out back in the Mishnah, it could be two yavamin and one yavama. Then the Mishnah said, okay, now we leave that case, and now we're going to a case of one-on-one. Meaning all the subsequent cases of the Mishnah are cases of one-on-one. Not all, but the first round, the first series of cases are one-on-one, and then the Mishnah moves back to a one-on-two or two-on-one. Okay. Anyway, let's continue. Nun Beis Amud Aleph, Asar Maimer Abal HaRezek HaMitzvah. Now, we went through a series of cases where you do this and that, right? Two action points. So obviously, as we go through every single permutation, so eventually we're going to get to an action point where you do Maimer and Bia, okay, of the 12 different ways that you can do two action points. So one of the 12 ways is going to be where you did Maimer and Bia. Now, it happens to be that in this scenario, you did exactly what you were supposed to do. And so the Mishnah points out, Asa Maimer Baal HaRezek HaMitzvah Sa. So you did it perfectly, meaning that's the mitzvah. So Lema Misayela the Rav Huna. So the Gemara says, good. Now this will be supportive of Rav Huna. De Amar Rav Huna Mitzvah Yivama Mekadesh V'Achar Kach. Boa. So, in fact, Rav Huna says this is proper procedure, meaning that if you enter into a Yibum opportunity, so what you're supposed to do is first you're supposed to do Maimer. Again, that's the mitzvah de Rabbanan. That's a quasi kedushin that you do in order to make this more like a marriage, a more formal and let's just say I'm using this word as like a halachic. Trying to give halachic meaning to it. It's a classier way to do it. Okay, you're doing it because the halacha mandates, but in other words, it now behaves more like a marriage, where first there's a formality of kedushin and maimer, and then afterwards, boah, and then afterwards you have relations with her. So, Ema, so the Gemara says, okay, You could say that, but you could also say Avzu Kimitzvasa. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you know the way you could read the Mishnah is this also is a mitzvah, meaning the mitzvah is Bia. Also, what you could do is Maimer Bia. You could read the Mishnah that way. And if that's true, then it no longer serves as a proof, an absolute proof for Rav Huna. So Pshita Sakadach Aminakim Damar Sa Maimer Bia Vimto Parche Menazikas Yivmim Vechalav Lav Zikas Erisim Venesuan Emalav Mitzvah Kavid. So the Gemara entertains the following. Now this is a Havamina, which means that the Gemara is going to reject it. But even as a Havamina goes, this is going to sound a little bit strange. And that is, that here's what I might have thought. I might have thought that, look, if you decide that you have a Yibam opportunity, if you just do Bia, great, you did the mitzvah of Yibam. But what if you did Maimer? It's not so much the mitzvah of Yibam now. You know what it's like? It's like you're marrying her. Meaning it's like Eris in Nisuin. But it's not Yibam. In other words, we're entertaining that as a possibility, and that's why the Mishnah has to tell us, af zu kimitzvah sa. So Kamash Malan, that comes to teach us, no, that's also the mitzvah as well. Meaning, even if I do Maimer, the Chiddush is that it's going to be the mitzvah of Yibum, not just a simple marriage. Okay. Again, as Havaminas go, if I did Maimer, so then that's it. It's no longer the mitzvah of Yibum. It's a funny Havamina. Okay, regardless, the Gemara entertained it, but the Gemara rejects it. The Gemara says, no, that when you do Maimer, Afzuk mitzvah, so you're still in the mitzvah of Yibum. Gufa Rav Huna mitzvah Yivim Mekadesh V'achar Kach Bawel. So Rav Huna says that as far as standard procedure is concerned, so Mekadesh V'achar Kach Bawel, meaning you should do this mimer, and then afterwards you have bia. V'im Balvasa mimer Kana. Now let's say you flip it around. Okay, it's not the best way to do it, but the mitzvah has been performed. Im Balvasa mimer Pshita Dehakanya Bibia. So the Gemara says, okay, but you were Kona. So Ela Ema Imbal Below Maimer Kana. So the Gemara says, okay. So what it means to say is that, let's say you just did Bia, meaning you didn't introduce Maimer. Maimer's a Din Derabanan. You ignored it. You just had Bia with your Yavama. You did the mitzvah. Now the Hatanya Loka, and then the Gemara says, now, for somebody who engages in this kind of behavior is going to get Malkus. And at this point in time, the Gemara thinks momentarily that the Malkus you're receiving is for violating the Isra D'Araisa. Okay, as the Havamina goes, again, it's a strange Havamina, meaning you did exactly what the Torah instructed you to do, but right now the Gemara thinks that for some reason you're going to get Malkus Mid'Araisa. So the Gemara immediately clarifies, no, Malkus Mardus Mid'Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, no. You're not going to get, the Malkus is not coming because you violated the Raisa. The Malkus is coming because you violated the Rabbanan. What the Rabbanan did you violate? Because the Chachamim instituted Maimer. They told us that if you're going to be doing the mitzvah of Yibum, even though Minatari, the mitzvah of Yibum is Bia, nevertheless, the Chachamim said, again, we're going to put in this mid-step of Maimer. Again, it's going to behave like Kedushin. And so therefore, once the Chachamim said that, so then, Mitzvah lishmo divrei chachamim. We have to follow the chachamim. And if we don't follow the chachamim, so you know what that is? It's an act of rebellion. And for an act of rebellion, so what is there? There's malchus. You get malchus. Now, clarification, right? The Gemara over here is describing now malchus mardus. Now, we are later in Shas, we're going to be going to a masechta called malchus. And in malchus, we're going to be learning about the receiving of malchus. So that's the same as this, right? No, it's not. Malkus over there is for violating a law in the Torah. For violating a law in the Torah, so you receive Malkus, meaning that's a corporal punishment that is received for the willful violation of an Isser in the Torah. Again, there has to be process. We all know this. There has to be witnesses. There has to be warning, etc., etc. Okay, this over here, what we're describing is what's called Malkus Mardus, meaning for acting in ways of rebelliousness and insolence, meaning you're showing a lack of respect, contempt for the words of the Chachamim. So even though you didn't violate the Torah, but for that act of contempt, so there's going to be Malkus. Okay, in other words, procedurally, are they exactly the same? So the Rishonim discuss it and well beyond the scope of our daf and what we're learning right now. But nevertheless, there is Malkus that is going to be administered for just simply being rebellious. The Gemara...
Okay, right. If you don't do it, you're going to get Malkus. It's complete. I mean, Bia was always the.
Right? Good. They're good. It's not all of a sudden, meaning the Gemara does take its time to unfold and give out information. Yeah. In other words, so now, admittedly, you're right, halfway through the Masechta. But okay, that's, you know, so it takes time for the Gemara to unfold it. And now, yes, on today's daf, we're learning together that now Maimer is an instrumental step in the process. Albeit it was mandated, it was legislated by the Chachamim, but now it becomes necessary. And failure to do so results in Makas Martis. Correct.
We talked about it was like a declaration of intent.
Right.
But the thing is that if he's already doing the Bia, he's already declared his intent.
Right.
So what's the point of...
Again, to give it more of a flavor of marriage. Marriage is two steps. It's Kedushin and Nisuin. So this also should be two steps. It should be Maimer and Bia. That's how the Chachamim viewed it. Right? The larger question, which I asked, and I certainly don't have an answer for, is if the Torah tells you that, you go straight to Bia, so then why would the Chachamim say, okay, yeah, I know that, but let's make it look more like marriage? Meaning, what motivated them? What got them going to, that there should be this interval step? It's fair. I don't know. Okay, now, what are going to be actions now in which you're going to get Malkus Marta? So here we're going to get treated to a short list of cases where your actions were just inappropriate. Most of them are acts of rebelliousness, but not even so much rebelliousness. In other words, those are some of the examples. Other examples are just simply you acted improper. So here we are now with a short list. The Rav Mangid Manda Mekash Bebiya. So Rav over here would give Malkus. When? Manda Mekash Bebiya. So as we know, there are three ways to be Mekash, a woman, Kesef Shtar, and Bia. First Mishnah and Kedushin. And so now, even though the Torah affords three options for a man to be Mekadosh, a woman, entering into the first stage of marriage, Rav said, anyone who wants to be Mekadosh Bebiya, no. And we're going to rule that out. Even though the Torah recognizes it and acknowledges it, but Rav says it's just improper. It's immodest, it's improper behavior. And so, no. In fact, Rav's no was so strong that if somebody did so, Rav said, okay, you're coming to Beis Din, and you're receiving a Makas Mardos. Umanda Mekadosh Beshukah. Let's say you get your Mekadosh Beshukah. Now, Shukah literally means marketplace over here. It basically means an open and public area. And once again, it's immodest. If we saw the Shukah back in the day, I'm sure we'd understand a lot better that it's just simply not the right venue. Now, mind you, by the way, in other words, you have to be Mekadosh. There has to be an audience by definition. You need Edom. The shuk is just simply an improper place. It's an immodest place to do the kiddushin. Umande mekash below shiduchim. Let's say you do kiddushin, but with no shiduchim. Now shiduchim, I know in the modern use of the word shiduchim just simply means let's see if we can match up people. But when the Gemara uses the word shiduche, it basically means arrangements, financial arrangements usually. In other words, the two families get together. What are you putting into the marriage? What are you putting into the marriage? And so there is arrangements that are made prior to the kiddushin. So let's say you do kiddushin without shiduchim. So you're being flippant about it. Okay, makas mardus. Manda mevato gita. Let's say after having written the get, so you nullify the get. We are going to be spending a lot of time in getting talking about this idea of being mevato get. So it is within the power of the husband prior to the delivery of the get to go ahead and to be mevato the get. And if anyone behaves in that way, so that is irresponsible behavior. Once again, you're going to get called into Rav's office. So mandem avato gita, mandem asa moda gita. And let's say you give a moda begita, meaning that prior to the writing of the get, so you say, I was forced to do so. I'm not doing so on my own will. So if you make such a statement like that, so once again, you are basically now trying to disqualify the get. And so if you make a moda on the get, you will be called into Rav's office. Tosfos points out over here, let's say even if you go ahead and you are mevatel your moda, okay, if you have been at a get, so you've seen this. In other words, the mesader get, the organizer is going to tell the husband, look, right, you're going to nullify any declaration you make that's going to cast any aspersion on the get. Good. So, and Tosfos points out over here, even if that were done, but once subsequently he throws any shade on the get. So under those circumstances, once again, that is perfectly improper behavior. This is a challenge to the get. So he's going to get called into Rav's office. Man de pakir shlicha de rabbanan. Let's say messenger of Beis Din pays you a visit. and you treat him with disrespect. Okay, you are in contempt of court. Let's say you got subpoenaed. And so you let the letter sit in your house for more than 30 days. So once again, right, they're going to come and they're going to, you know, and they're going to give makas mardos. So, and the son-in-law cannot live in his in-law's house for concern that he's going to act improperly with his mother-in-law. So the Gemara says, now over here, the wording is really carefully worded. He can't live in his in-law's house. So didari in dechalafla, which means that if he just comes in and every now and then, you know, what's it called, your mother-in-law is making a good dinner and you'd like to stop in and pay a visit. So that sounds like it's okay. So the Gemara says, vahu dechalaf ababa debechamo avin agde Rav Sheshes. So the Gemara says, yeah, but I'm telling you, this is episodic. Rav Sheshes went and gave malchus to somebody who just basically had dinner at his mother-in-law's house. And so, and he wasn't living there. He was just passing through. So the Gemara says, "Hahu meidam hu d'dai mechamaseh." So the Gemara says, no, there's a history over there. Already rumors were circulating about him and his mother-in-law. And basically, the court ordered a form of a restraint order, right? In this particular case, not using the right legal terminology, right? Restraint not because of, you know, him being harming, but because unfortunately he was too close and too comfortable with his mother-in-law. And so he was previously warned, you cannot go and spend any kind of time in your mother-in-law's house, and he did so. So now that there's a history, so Rav Sheshes says, okay, that's enough already. Makos mardos. Okay, so what we were just treated to in the Gemara is a number of occasions. This list is not exhaustive, meaning obviously there are going to be other cases as well. But over here, a short list of occasions in which what you acted is either immodestly or disrespectfully, and so therefore you're going to be subject to makos mardos. Now, Dai Amrei Bechula Lo Mangid Rav Ela LeMekash Bebiyah. So Uvelo Shiduche. So now, according to the Shiva Nahardai, so they said no, you have the tradition wrong. Rav would give makos, but extraordinarily limited circumstance, only when a man was Mekash Bebiyah and also without Shiduche. Then and only then would Rav administer and distribute malchus. Okay, so according to Nardai, they have a different version. Or some are of the opinion that afilu b'shiduche, meaning that even if you're a mekad, you had the arrangements, but you decide that you want to be mekash with bia. That in of itself is enough to go ahead and get malchus. But still, in the second version, according to Nardai, for all those other, you know, acts of immodesty or insubordination, you're not going to get malchus. Okay. Good. Tana Rabbanan. Ketzad Maimer. Okay, so a number of occasions in this Masechta. So we have now spoken about this middle stage of Maimer. In today's daf, we're somewhere in the middle of the Masechta. Not exactly. In terms of Parakim, we're finishing up the fifth Parak. There are 12, 13? I should know, shouldn't I? 13. So, no, 15. Okay. Anyway, sorry. So there are 15 of Prakim in total in this Masechta. So in terms of Prakim, we're not even a third of the way through. In terms of Dapim, so we're not halfway through, but closer to halfway through, regardless. So we've seen Maimer already a number of times. And in today's Daf, so a lot of time is spent in terms of the importance of Maimer, the significance of Maimer. In fact, if you want to do the mitzvah correctly, so that what you're going to do is that first, in a Yibam opportunity, you're first going to do Maimer, and then afterwards you're going to have Bia with her. Okay. How do you do Maimer? Like, what exactly is it? Ah, good. Tanu Rabbanan. Ketzad Maimer Nasan LaKesef V'Shava Kesef V'Shtar Ketzad. So, how Maimer is done? So you either give her a Kesef or a Shava Kesef. Meaning, what the Bryce is assuming we all know is that basically, Maimer is going to behave like Kedushin. And therefore, the way we go into Kedushin is the way you're going to go into Maimer. So how do you go into Kedushin? So you give her money. And you say, Hare Amu Kedush Asli B'Kesef Zu. Right? The B'Tabah Zu. So over here, when it comes to Maimer, okay, same. In other words, you give her money. Kesef or Shava Kesef. Anything, either money or money or money equivalent, something has value. And and Rashi over here. Right? Rashi, Nasan La Kesef O Shava Kesef. V'Amar La. Now, it's interesting. The Gemara doesn't say this, meaning, but Rashi assumes, look, once we're going to be behaving like Kedushin, so therefore, there also has to be a speaking portion to it. and you say he's kashi li b'maimer yivmim, and you say, look, this is going to be the use an English term, a betrothal, meaning we are going to now enter into this first stage of yibum. So b'maimer yivmim v'afagav di ayvla midi lav kiddushin gemurin ki kiddushin Torah. Now, as Rashi over here clearly articulates, look, this is not actual kiddushin. Sharein kiddushin tofsin beishasach. V'atar lo hitiru lo le'asos keishas nachris. Ela kiseder ha-mitzvah ubiyahu dikasva barachmana. Meaning, as far as the Torah is concerned, so what you are going to be doing with her is biyah. Meaning, that's the mitzvah of the Torah. Okay, admittedly, it's not actual kiddushin, but again, it's a legislative step added by the Chachamim in order so that it looks a lot more like kiddushin. That if you do so, if you mimer her with kesef. Now, what's another way to do kiddushin? Shtar. So what's another way to do mimer? Shtar. Uvishtar ketzad, vishtar ketzad kedamaran. So the Gemara says, well, we have for that also an explanation. And kesef la'alaniyar o'al acheres alfa pishen bo sheva pruta harayet mikudesh li. So in other words, we already know how shtar is done by kiddushin, so shouldn't it be done the same way over here? And look, as far as the actual document itself is concerned, it doesn't have to have any value. Meaning, again, a notable difference between kesef and shtar is that kesef has to have intrinsic value. It has to actually be worth something. The shtar itself, the actual paper itself, the document itself, doesn't have to be worth anything. But in terms of how it's done, go to Kiddushin, see how it's done Kiddushin, and just bring it back over here. Amar by hachi kamar shtar ksuvas yivmim ketzad. So the Gemara says no. Okay, clarification. We already knew how shtar is going to operate, meaning we know how kesef is going to operate, we know how shtar is going to operate. That wasn't the question. Question is as follows. You know there's going to be a ksuva also. Now the ksuva is the ksuva, right? How else do I say it? It's the marriage contract that the husband now requires himself to do the following responsibilities for his wife. And by the way, it also works in the other direction as well, responsibilities of the wife to the husband. The ksuva contract, which we're going to be spending an entire mesechta talking about, upcoming, that'll be our next mesechta. So in addition to all the responsibilities between him to her and her to him, also there's going to be obligate himself to give her a sum of money in the event of death or divorce. So now the Gemara wants to know, shtar ksuva siyivmim ketzad. So now how are we writing up the ksuva? That's the question, which the Gemara now explains. So, kasev lana pluni bar pluni kabalt yatz plonis yivimti alayla zonu lefarnasa. Karai. Okay, so basically, look, I accept upon myself that I'm going to support you. Uvavachet take suvasa nechse bala rishon. And then a point that we made earlier in the Masechta that we get to review right now, and that is what's securing the obligation. Again, a sum of money is now going to be required that he is going to be paying her in the event of death or divorce. And when I say in the event of death, meaning his estate is going to pay. Now, what is securing that money? So it is going to be mortgaged against property. Whose property? The property of the first husband. And then the Gemara points out, and again, we did this earlier in the Masechta. And he's going to be inheriting it, but it's going to, correct. Now, let's say his brother died without money and without assets and without property. So his property now, the Avon's property, is going to go ahead and back and secure the obligation. Because what is the reason? Shalote Kalabain of Lotzia. One of the primary purposes of Iksuva is basically to make the man think twice before divorcing his wife. So in other words, if it is an unsecured note, okay, what's going to happen now if I divorce her? Meaning I'm not going to lose financially if it's an unsecured note. So the note has to be secured. If there were assets to the original husband, fine. And if not, so he's got to secure the note with his assets. Okay.
How come she doesn't get the actual money? Once her husband dies, the ketubah needs to be fulfilled from the first husband. Why did she not, there was not become hers? Why does
it will become hers in the event that her brother-in-law doesn't do the mitzvah of yibum.
Okay, so that's the settlement of the estate.
Correct. Correct. In other words, only in the event that the brother does a mitzvah yibum, then you'll have a transfer of estate, and then that estate will be used to secure the note.
And the new ketubah, does it override
the new ketubah? No. In other words, right. The question is excellent. Meaning, in terms of the date of the lien, presumably it goes back with the original assets.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. By me now, by me, Rabbi Nassan, like Evama, Haram, Megoresha, say many. Okay, so, question now Abai poses from Rabba. And that is, let's say he answers a get, and he says, Haram, Megoresha, say many, Viad Mutel Sechol Adam, Mahu. Okay. The very basic rules regarding a get, right? The Rambam, in his introduction to the Halachas of Gittin, so he says, here are 10 basic rules you need to know in terms of a get. Okay, so I encourage you to look at it. So over here, this is basics, ABCs, which is that when you write a get to your wife and you want to sever the union, you want to sever the relationship. So one of the most basic things is that you must be writing in the get, Hareyat Mutasa Chaladam, meaning that this is a total severance between me and you, no strings attached. Meaning if there's any kind of condition in the get, like we're going to get divorced, but you cannot marry that person, so that by definition is not going to be a get because that doesn't create a full severance. Fine? So over here, question on the table. And that is, let's say he gives her a get. And in the get, Hare at Megoresha Semeni V'at Mutasa Chol Adam. Look, as far as our marriage is concerned, we're done. But you can't marry anybody else. Oh, okay. Sounds fair, right? Again, in by a regular get, this would not qualify as a get. It's simply not a get. But the Gemara now wants to know. That part I understand. Over here, remember, get in a Yibum context. So what were the Chachamim concerned about? They were concerned that if we allow get over here, so then people will confuse and interchange and replace get with Chalitza. Well, if get didn't do anything, then Chalitza doesn't do anything. Right? That was what we discussed in the beginning of the fifth parak, otherwise known as yesterday's daf. So anyway, so the Gemara now wants to know, so let's say you're giving her a get, which under normal circumstances would be disqualified. But over here, you're giving it to her in a Yibum context. So, Mahu get Yivama de Rabban, who get the Mahani Beishasish, Mahani Beyivama, get the Lamahani Beishasish, Lamahani Beyivama. So one possibility is just simply say, look, if the get in general doesn't work, so it doesn't work in this context. Odilma Asilach Lufi Begita. So the Gemara says, alternatively, what? Alternatively, the whole reason why get is recognized in the Yibum context is because people will confuse a get and chalitza. So maybe over here, it smacks enough of a get where the rabbinic concern is going to kick in. Okay. So Amalei Chayshina Damasi Lachlufa Begita. Huh. So really fascinating answer. I didn't see this one coming. And that is that no, even though this get in of itself doesn't qualify as a get, but over here in the context of Yibum, where the Chachamim were concerned. Because it smells enough of a get, it smacks enough of a get, where the Chachamim said, look, people are going to confuse. So, Maskal V'Rava Barchanan Elamiata Yaiv La Niyara Ba'alma. So the Gemara says, okay, so then I got this idea, and that is, what if you just gave her a piece of paper? He gave her a piece of paper and said, look, this is your get, and it's a piece of paper. So, Ha'chenam Depasla? So the Gemara says, okay. So if you're ready to entertain that a disqualified get is going to work in the Yibam context, when I say work, I just simply mean that the Chachamim were concerned about such a get. So how about you hand her a piece of paper? Wouldn't the Chachamim be concerned over there? So the obvious difference, which the Gemara spells out. Amalei hasam la pasa b'kahuna, hachaka pasa b'kahuna. Gemara says, look, there's disqualified getting and then there's a blank piece of paper. Okay. And they're not the same. In other words, a disqualified get. What we're going to learn together right now. A disqualified get, there's a new term, we're going to hear this in Gittin a number of times, and that's what's called a Reach HaGet. Reach HaGet, meaning it has a smell of a get. It's a funny term. But it basically means that, look, even though it's not actually serving as a get, but it's close enough where it's going to give you the smell, obviously we're saying this B'derech Mashal, it's going to give you the smell as if you were a divorced woman. When does something have a Reach HaGet? And what does it mean when it has a Reach HaGet? So let's learn together right now. So, Amalei Hasam La Pasa Bakuna Achaka Pasa Bakuna Detanya. Gemara quotes the Braisa. V'isha Grusha Me'isha Lo Yikachu. When you have a woman who is divorced from her husband, right? Me'isha, right? That's a mapike. So it means from her husband. A woman who's divorced from her husband Lo Yikachu. So a Kohen's not allowed to marry her. Kohen can't marry a divorcee. That we knew. But over here now, a drasha. Afilo Nisgarsha Elamisha Lo Yikachu. Meaning, let's say she's only divorced from her husband, but she's not allowed to marry another man. What's going on over here? So in other words, what the husband did is wrote her a get, and the get said, look, as far as our marriage is concerned, it's over, but as far as you're concerned, you can't marry another man. Now again, is that a get? No. Does that have a reyach haget? Yes. That's isha, hagrusha, me'isha, lo yikachu. Okay? So it has enough of a reyach haget where this woman now is going to be disqualified from marrying a kohen. Okay. So over here, we're going to make a really easy distinction between a pasul get and a piece of paper. A pasul get has legal significance. It has reyach haget. A piece of paper has no legal significance. Okay. We're in Nun Beis Amud Aleph, we're towards the bottom of the Amud. Topic so far in Amud Aleph that we covered. Number one, just the cleaning up of the Mishnah in terms of how to read the Mishnah. In terms of procedures of Yibum. So it should be Maimer Bia. Maimer is an institution instituted by the Chachamim as a courtship, if you will, of this woman. Even though the Torah does not recognize it, but the Chachamim instituted it, and now it becomes part of the process of Yibum. And the mitzvah done correctly is Maimer, then followed by Bia. Let's say you do Bia by itself. So subject, possibly you're going to get Makas Mardus. All right, the Gemara discussed that right in the middle of the Amud. And then just a short list of different types of immodest behavior or insubordinate behaviors that are going to be subject to Makas Mardus. And then we talked about what exactly you're doing for Maimer. It's either going to be done with Kesef or Shtar, and we covered that in slightly more detail. And good. And then the Gemara asked the question: What if you handed her a get but it was a disqualified get, but it has a reacha get? Is that going to be significant in the Yibum context? And the Gemara's answer was yes. We're in the very bottom in Beis Amud Aleph. Just a couple more topics for today's daf. Amar Rami Bar Chama Harei Amru. Amar echad lalav alakasa get laru sisi lecha shech nesena agarsheno hari zeget mibneshi biyad lagarsha. Okay, so let's start off with the halacha. You go over to a sofer and you say, look, I'm currently mekudeshes to this woman, right? We went through the first stage of marriage. Okay, again, as far as halacha is concerned, you're married. Now again, as we all know, you're not living with her yet. You don't have the financial responsibilities to her yet. But nevertheless, you're married. You're already at the first stage of marriage. And then you go over to the sofer and say, look, I'm going to marry her, but I'm just telling you right now, I know it's not going to work, and we're going to get a divorce. Write me my get right now, okay? So you are right now after Kedushin, before Nisuin, and you're asking the sofer to write you a get right now. Okay, now, this is behavior which goes without saying, but let's say it. Let's make the most obvious point of of today, all right? Highly improper behavior, highly inappropriate behavior, right? Nobody should be doing this. That's not the point of the Gemara. The Gemara just wants to know, effective or ineffective? That's all we're discussing right now. And we're not discussing whether or not this is a good strategy. Okay? Just, I could try to be clear, but I think that was pretty clear. So is it effective? That's the only thing the Gemara is discussing right now. And to which the Gemara says, yeah, it's effective. So, hareza get, mimneshi biyadu lagarsha. Even though it's a get for a future, but this is what's called biyado. Meaning right now, currently, you're only at the first stage of marriage. So going to the second stage of marriage is totally within your control. Meaning she already accepted the kiddushin from you. So now it's just a question of entering into the second stage of marriage. That's biyado. Okay. So as a result of that, so it's biyado lagarsha. So therefore, there is no problem about writing a get for something in the future. However, uli shaba ama ain get me mishim biyado lagarsha. But let's say the following: you have identified which woman you want to marry, divorce. Okay. Admittedly, such an individual definitely has got some issues. So you identify the woman that you want to marry, divorce, but you haven't even gotten to kedushin yet. Okay, now you go over to the sofer and say, write me a get right now. For when I marry her, kedushin nisuin, then I'll use this get to divorce her. So over there, so it does not work. This is what's called an halacha, a davar shelo bala olam. I can't affect something now that hasn't yet come into fruition. So this is a davar shelo bala olam. Could post date a get? The answer is no. The Gemara in Gittin on Daf Yud Zion says that Gittin have to be dated correctly.
So how could that work?
Over here, we're not even post dating it. In other words, we're writing it before you're even married.
Talk about the first case you mentioned. Yeah.
In terms of when the dating is gonna. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't understand. Now I understand your question. Good. Okay. Good. Good. Okay. All right. Let me think more about it. Okay. So so ein biyado. So this is what's called a davar shelo ba la'olam. So mimnei she ein biyado lagarsha. By Rami bar Chama liyavimta mahu. Okay. So now we got the rules down pretty clearly. Again, we're just talking about effectiveness. We're not advising. So over here, if you're already past the point of kedushin, can you write a get now for after nisuin? The answer is yes. If you're before kedushin, so can you write a get now for post kedushin, post nisuin? The answer is no. Okay, we got that clear. Now the Gemara wants to know. Let's say yavam yavama. So you're in now the state of shemaris yavam. There's a zika. So now where are we in terms of this ability to write her again at this point in time, for after you marry her? Is it like post-kedushin, or is it like pre-kedushin? Okay, that's a Gemara's question. So, so there is a Zika, so therefore it's like Erison. Or maybe no, Mimer has not yet been done. And effectively what the Gemara is asking over here is, look, I get it. Mimer is quasi-kedushin. It is a kedushin replacement. How much is it like kedushin? Meaning, is it so much like kedushin that in this really strange halacha of pre-writing a get, so is it that now, even though there's a zika, but it's pre-mimer, so it's like pre-kedushin? Or maybe no. Maybe the zika by enough is considered enough of a quasi-marriage where at the stage, if I pre-write the get, it would be effective. Teiku. Okay, Gemara says good. Good question. Well, let's move on. I don't know. By Rav Chananya Kasav get lezika so v'lo lamamaro v'lo lezika so mahu. So the Gemara says as follows. Let's say that after having done mimer, so what you would like to do is you would like to take back the mimer. Okay, so take back the mimer. Can you do that? Okay, so this is in terms of lamdus, in terms of conceptualization. So this is really, really a clear and articulate way, an example of like how to look at a rabbinic entity. Meaning, Mimer now is a rabbinic innovation in terms of Yibum. That part we get. Now, what is it doing? Is it basically running parallel with the Zika? Or is it actually reinforcing the Zika? Watch. This is really, it's really good. So you'll see. V'lo lezika so mao. Mimer yila v'zika karame. So is Mimer just basically on top of the Zika v'havaleke megarish chatzi isha v'megarish chatzi isha lo asa v'lo klum? Meaning, so what is Mimer now doing? Is Mimer now basically overlaying on top of the Zika? And now what you're trying to do is, you're trying to extricate yourself from this. In other words, it's like divorcing half a woman, right? In other words, married to a woman, like, look, half of you I can handle, half of you I cannot handle. Okay? Wait, just one second. So fine. So now, you was like, look, let me just divorce half of you. Now, what I said is silly, and not only is it silly, obviously it doesn't work, right? Divorce means a full severance between him and her. So over here, if the way we're looking at Mimer is that Mimer's overlaying and overlapping on top of a Zika. So now you understand. You want to extricate yourself from that. It's analogous to extricating yourself from half a woman. Alternative. Just one second. Let me just finish. Oh, Dilma, or maybe no. Hi, l'chudekai v'haluchudekai. So the Gemara says, good. Or another way to look at it is as follows. No. Mimer is a rabbinic institution. That part's true. It's running not overlapping on top of the Zika, it's running parallel with the Zika. Meaning, if you will, if you can imagine now, and I know this is very conceptual, but basically what you have over here is that the Torah says that there's a Zika bonding you to this woman, and then the Chachamim said, okay, now what you're going to do is you'll do Mimer. But Mimer's not on top of the Zika, Mimer's running alongside the Zika. So if it's running alongside the Zika, so now can I extricate myself from the Mimer? Yes. Meaning because now it's not part and parcel of the Zika, it's alongside it, and now you can. How do you extricate yourself from it? You ready again? Look, what I want to do now is I want to take back the Mimer. Now there are advantages, as the Gemara is in a moment is about to point out, in terms of taking back the Mimer. Let's say, as a simple example, let's say another brother says, look, right, you don't really want to do this, and I really do want to do this. So can we now, after Mimer's been done, can the Mimer be undone? Good. That's exactly what we're discussing right now. Okay, yeah, Danny. Okay, good.
One question.
Yeah.
The Mimer is a complete separate bond.
That's one possibility.
One possibility. The question is, if he gives her a get to cancel the Mimer, doesn't it also pose a problem for another brother to marry her? Because now she's there. Where does he get?
Right. Okay, good. Okay. Fair questions. The Gemara is entertaining right now that in this, in the two stream, in the parallel streams construct, the Gemara is assuming right now that you could just take away the Mimer. Question's excellent.
So Gemara, get, just a retraction.
No, but the retraction is done via get. But you're right though. In other words, you hear get, I hear get, and all of a sudden we're thinking like, oh wait 1 second. Right. Right, she's a right. Once you're introducing get, so right can't. Isn't this whole fifth parak predicated on the fact that once you issued a get, that's it? Like you're right, story over. Okay, fair. It's a really fair question. So the Gemara says v'tifshalei mederav v'damer Rava nasin get lamama rohu tzarasa. So the Gemara says okay, and Rava talk like this. Rava says that what you can do is you can give her a get to extract yourself from the mimer. So the Gemara says, L'Rav Apshita, L'Rav Alei, L'Rav Chanina, Mi Ba'ilei, Mai. Okay, Gemara says, good. So Rava had clarity on this particular issue. Rabbi Chanina didn't have clarity on this particular issue. Take it, the Gemara says, good. So for Rabbi Chanina, we're going to leave the question unresolved. Let's do one more piece of Gemara for today. Chalitz V'Asa Mimer. Okay, now, one does Chalitza, and another does Mimer. Okay, so the so under those circumstances, remember we went through a whole series of cases, and one of the cases again, there are two rounds in the Mishnah, so we are now round number two. Chalatz ve'asa ba mimer. One brother does chalitza, and another one does mimer. Okay, now chalatz ve'asa ba mimer, and as Rashi points out over here, here we go. Sorry. It could be the same person as well. So the mimer is not going to have any bearing. Okay, so the Gemara points out now. And when we did the Mishnah, I mentioned this probably quickly. But Am Rav Yehuda, Am Rav Zudiv Rabbi Akiva, Damrei Kiddushin Tofsin B'Chayve Lavin. So you have a woman now who is a chalutza. Okay, so the chalutza now to you, the brother-in-law, is a lav in the Torah. Meaning you are not allowed to marry her. But she was a Yavama candidate. You did chalitza to her. Kevin shalabana, shuv lo yibana. Okay, that drasha we heard already a number of times in the Masechta, which means now that to you she represents a lav in the Torah. Okay, now you're Mekadisha. Oh, you're Mekadisha? So what happens when you're Mekadisha lav? Depends who you ask. If you ask Rabbi Akiva, the Kedushin is not tofes. If you have the Chacham, then the Kedushin is going to be tofes. So when the Mishnah says a mimer after chalitza is nothing, so who is that? So the Gemara points out, it's Rabbi Akiva. So Ava Chacham Amram, Im Yesh Achach Chalitza Klum. Omi Matzis Mukmas Laka Rabbi Kiva Vakatani Reisha Nasan Gevasa Maimer Tzricha Geva Chalitza. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. So now you're telling me that our Mishnah here, the Mishnah of the fifth parak of Yavamos is going like Rabbi Kiva. So the Gemara says, okay, go back to a previous case, which is Nasan Gevasa Maimer. What you did get and you did Maimer. So Tzricha Geva Chalitza. So now what do you have to do? So for the Maimer, so you have to extricate yourself for the Maimer and that's done through get. On top of that, also you have to do chalitza as well. V Rabbi Akiva came in the eye of like, yeah, me mahani ba mimer. Now the Gemara says, now wait 1 second, according to Rabbi Akiva, so once you give her a get, once you issue the get, mimer should have no bearing on it whatsoever. Why? That's telling you, Rabbi Akiva, I mean, I don't know, sin getli vimtosh and asra alav alamis. So they, once you give a get to your yavama, she becomes prohibited. Shenemer lo yichal bala rishon asher shacha acher shiluach. So it sounds like right now that we have a drasha that according to Rabbi Akiva, once the get is issued to his yavama, that's it, she's prohibited. And so therefore, if you do mimer afterwards, the mimer should have no effectiveness to it whatsoever, no status to it. So the Gemara says, Amar Ravashi get yivim edirabban v'karas machta ba'alma. So the Gemara says, no. I know we just heard a pasuk. I know it just sounds like we heard a drasha. It's really an asmachta. I mean, it's a dindirabbanan. Tanya Namehachi, the Gemara quotes a Braisa, Amar Rebbe, Ain't Var Malala, Amar Melodiv Rebbe, Kivash Ayose, Chalutza Kereva, So according to Rabbi Akiva, chalutz is like an erva, because again, chalutz there's a lav, but according to Rabbi Akiva, yeah, but a lav there's no tfisas kedushin. It'd be no difference than an erva, where everyone agrees there's no tfisas kedushin. And aval chachamim omim yesh achar chalitza klum. But according to the chachamim, there is something after chalitza. Ve'ani omer emasav is manchikasha l'shem ishus. That's true if you're mekadisher as a woman, as your wife. Aval kasha l'shem yevamos. Ein achar chalitza klom. So then there's simply not going to be anything after chalitza. But in other words, but the point over here is that according to Rabbi Akiva, it is a din de rabbanan. It's not a din de araisa. Okay, adkan. All right, we're going to pause over here. We are going to pick it up tomorrow from Tanya Idach, a second braisa. The Gemara is going to give, whatever. There are 6 different ways to understand the braisa. Okay, anyway, let's pause over here. So, A quick recap of today's daf. Nun Beis Amud Aleph. So number one, just a cleaning up of the Mishnah in terms of the proper way to read the Mishnah and how to transition from the Machlokes Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim to the series, the first round of cases in the Mishnah of you do this and this and this and this. Okay, good. Second part of the today's daf, really basic information regarding Mimer. In that Mimer, so Mimer needs to be done as part of the Yibam process. The Torah only tells you to go to Bia. Yeah, that's true. And the Chachamim told us that we have to go before Bia, first Mimer, then Bia. Okay. And and this is a mitzvah. And if you just do Bia without Mimer comes out, then that's immodest, that's improper. Once the Chachamim legislated Mimer, so that's it, that's what we have to do. And then in today's daf, Nun Beis Amud Aleph, so the Gemara went through a series of cases in which if one acts in manners of immodesty or insubordination, one is going to be subject to Malchus Mardus. When exactly? Okay, various versions in today's daf in terms of when exactly that is. When did they stop issuing Malchus Mardus? Unclear. Meaning, in Bavo, clearly they were giving out Malchus Mardus. An obvious point. Meaning, Rav Manget Amanda Mikash Babia, we saw earlier this morning. So Rav is an Amora, living in Bavo. And Rav Sheshes was issuing Malchus Mardus. So it was clearly done even well after Churban Beis HaMikdash. Okay, when did it stop? Okay, I don't know. But anyway, how exactly is Mimer done? So it can either be done with Kesef or with Shtar, and the Gemara gave us the details in terms of exactly what you're giving. Rashi actually says that there's also a formula that you have to say as well, much like Kiddushin. Okay, a couple questions ending the Amud Aleph of today's daf. Number one, you give her a faulty get, but a get that at least has a reach get. So is that something the Chachamim are concerned about? The Gemara's conclusion was yes. If, let's say, you had a sofer write you a get after Kiddushin, that works. Meaning, you, even though the get is going to anticipate that, first you're going to marry her, and then you're going to divorce her, but still it works. Why? Because it's biyado. If, on the other hand, you have the get pre-written before the Kiddushin, so then it's not biyado, and then the get is ineffective. Question, what if you have the get written during the Shmiras Yavam, while she was a Shmiras Yavam, where there was just a Zika, but before Mimer? Is that now considered before Kiddushin or after Kiddushin? And the Gemara ends off on that question, unresolved. Next, you want to extricate yourself from a Mimer. You did a Mimer, you want to extricate yourself from a Mimer. Can you do that? So it depends on how you look at Mimer. Either Mimer is coming to reinforce a Zika, so that's it. In other words, you can't extract yourself from the Mimer, or no. Maybe it's running a parallel and alongside the Zika, which means then you could extricate yourself from the Mimer. The Gemara says Rava clearly viewed it the latter way, and Rabbi Hanina was not sure. He was unclear. And finally, once you do Chalitza and then you do something after Chalitza, our Mishnah says it's nothing. It has no effectiveness whatsoever. Who's the author of that opinion? That's Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva holds that there's no tefisas kedushin by chayv elavin. This is a chayv elav, and therefore our mission reflects the viewpoint of Rabbi Akiva.